Okay, so our tefillah topic tonight is really about an overall aspect of our Avodas Hashem, which tefillah is an enabler. It enables us to focus on these two components, these core components of our overall Avodas Hashem. And this piece I sent you from Rabbi Dr. Twersky really caught my eye when I came across it as I was preparing, and that's what I want to focus on. So to give it some background and context, in general, we know that there are, the Chayyadim describes, there are sheish mitzvos tamidios. There are six ongoing mitzvos that we can fulfill all the time, every moment of our lives, contemplating them, thinking about them. And two of those are the mitzvos of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. So the Rambam, in the beginning of the second perek of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, the Rambam tells us that these are two mitzvos, Shenemar v'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha, v'nemar es Hashem Elokecha tira. So how do we cultivate, how do we approach these mitzvos of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem? Their feelings, their experiences, they are emotions. So the Rambam says, I'll tell you. In Halacha Beis, he says, what is the path? The answer is, when a person contemplates, when a person contemplates the awesome, incredible world in which we live, and we see divine wisdom that is remarkable, incredible, beyond imagination, beyond measure, a person wants, is desirous of knowing Hashem, as it says, and when a person thinks, he immediately retreats, and he is fearful. A person recognizes their puny insignificance before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So these are two different modes of connecting to Hashem. There is the Midah of Ahava, the Midah of love, and the Midah of Yira, the Midah of awe. But notice how these two midos have a specific, a distinct feel to them. Meaning, what happens, the Rambam says, when a person feels that sense of love, that ahava, what does it do? It draws the person closer. It creates a proximal closeness. We feel that there is almost a collapse of the space between the two. That's why the Lashon of the Rambam is Mis'avetav gadol leida Hashem agadol. It's as if we're coming close, and yet, when we have the experience of Yira, near Tala Achorov, we retreat. This is an idea that Rav Soloveitchik writes about in different places, the idea of feeling like we're making progress, coming close, and then stepping away, being far. There's an element of closeness that we can associate with Avas Hashem, that Ava feels like Kirvas Elokim, closeness to God. And then there is the distance, the Yira. That means we take a step back, Nirta La'achorev. This idea of feeling close to and also feeling apart from, feeling distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, as we see, a core of what our experience is supposed to be about in Yiddishkeit, but it's also a core of what our avoda in tefillah reminds us of and helps us cultivate. So I don't know who is on, who has the little handout that we sent out. I see some of you. I don't know if you want to raise your hand. For those who have it on their screen, you can... We got someone's daughter in the background, maybe has the handout, which is awesome. Just kidding. So if you have the handout in front of you, I'll read it, but you can follow along. This comes from Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky's masterful Sefer on Tefillah. Of course, everything he writes, I love it. It's amazing. And this one little piece really brings to the fore, in the context of Tefillah, these mitzvos of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem in a sharp focus. So I'll read it to you, and you can follow along. Many commentaries seek to explain the grammatical shift in the wording of the brachos. We begin by saying, "Blessed are you, Baruch Ata," addressing God in the second person, and then continued, "Asher Kedishonu b'mitzvosav," referring to God in the third person. The various commentaries are in essential agreement that the bonding between man and God must consist of closeness and intimacy, but also be one of reverence, standing in awe of infinite God. The modality of intimacy is expressed by addressing God directly as you, as Ata, much as one would address a close friend. However, familiarity that is not tempered with reverence could result in a laxity of obedience. It is therefore necessary to stand back, as it were, and realize that intimacy notwithstanding, we are in the presence of the sovereign of the universe. So before he goes on, here we have what we could argue are the expressions of the midah of ava, of closeness, of ata, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is right with us in this experience of life, and at the same time, it's Melech HaOlam. Now, in the context of tefillah, these two feelings are crucial, because imagine for a moment we were davening, and we only had the Melech HaOlam component of it. So how would we feel? If there was no Ata, there was only Melech HaOlam. So how would that affect our experience of tefillah?
It wouldn't be very personal.
Right. It would be very disconnected, exactly, as Ari's saying. And also, you might argue that it would feel futile. Because the Melech HaOlam, the God, the being that nurtures and is taking care of and worrying about all the myriad, the innumerable details of existence. So what does it have to do with me? That has nothing to do with me. That's so far beyond. That's so transcendent. It's not shayach that I should be able to connect to that. But what if we only have the Ata? If we only view the Ribbono Shel Olam as our close confidant, that also would be inadequate. Because certainly when it comes to the aspect of bakasha in tefillah, of what we're asking of Hashem, well, you know, I can ask a lot of people, and you know, imagine, nice, I don't see everybody who's on, but imagine I asked him, do me a favor, could you lend me $3 million? Now, I'd like to start a business. I have a brilliant idea for a business venture. Could you lend me $3 million? So, I'm trying to think who my neighbors are right now, but there's nobody I know on my block who just has $3 million of fungible assets that they wouldn't mind just lending to me, assuming I could guarantee I would even pay them back. But it's not shayach, it's out of the realm of possibility. So tefillah, which is an expression of dreaming big for what we really want for ourselves, for our families, from our lives, if it was just Ata, if we didn't reinforce to ourselves that the Ribbono Shel Olam is Kol Yachol, he could do anything, he could change anything at any moment, then the bakashas would fall flat. So dafka in tefillah, we need to have the closeness of Ata, of feeling that the Ribbono Shel Olam is listening to us. He's a shomea tefillah. He knows and hears and pays attention, but also that he's still the Melech HaOlam. And the concept of Malchios, what does Malchus mean? The sphere of Malchus, as Rav Pinkus explains in Shabbos Malchusa, Malchus means everything is possible in the world. Because the melech poreitz geder, there's nothing stopping the melech. The melech can accomplish anything. He has not just the koach, but also the poel. He has the ability to execute on his ratzon. Shlomo Carlbach used to say that if you think that a situation is too far gone, then you don't really believe in God. Because if you really mamish understand that the Ribono Shel Olam is Kol Yachol, then nothing is ever too far gone. Now, that doesn't mean that we pray for Nisim, and it doesn't mean that we don't follow the Derech HaTeva, v'chule, all those important things. But the core of understanding that the Ribono Shel Olam is Melech HaOlam Mamish, that's crucial to our tefillah. That's the essence of every bracha, of Baruch Ata, but also Melech HaOlam. That is perhaps the microcosm of this general experience that we have. And that's why in our tefillos, we oscillate between these two feelings, a feeling like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, we're close to Him, we can just lean on His shoulder, kivyachol, but also there's an element of yira. I once heard a vort, I think it was from Rav Mendel Blachman. The pasuk says in the end of Parashas Yisro, after we have the Aseres Adibros, after we were already told, Lo yielecha Elohim Achirim, don't have any idols, the pasuk says at the end of the parasha, it says, just keep in mind, a ha'ara, Elohei chesef, Elohei zav, lo sason iti. Do not make gods of silver and gods of gold. What are you talking about? Making gods of silver and gods of gold. We were just told that. We were just told not to build idols. So the word goes like this. The word kesef, yes, it means silver, but it also has another meaning. The pasuk says, Nichsof nichsafta, you have certainly desired something which you love. Lo sason iti Elohei chesef, don't make me into a god of free love. You know, I'm not the hippie god. I'm not the god of free love and just kumbaya all day. But also, Elohei zav, don't make God into a god of gold. The Gemara talks about different shades of gold, green-colored gold and red-colored gold. The concept of gold is anger, is fire, is midas hadin. Don't make me into an angry old man looking out to zap you. That's not what God is. God is not all midas hadin. It's not Elohei chesef or Elohei zav. The Ribono Shel Olam is beyond our comprehension, but the way that we relate to Him actually cannot be exclusively kesef or zav. It's got to be both. There's got to be a feeling of closeness, of imminence, with an A, that the Ribono Shel Olam is here all the time. Rav Soloveitchik, and we've quoted this before many times, Rav Soloveitchik said that the most important thing is light in life is to feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of His hand resting upon my frail shoulder. The Ribono Shel Olam is with me. He's holding on to my shoulder. That image of the support on the shoulder, but also that image that He's holding on to my shoulder because He's nudging me forward. He's encouraging me to grow. He's explaining to me that I need to move out of my comfort zone. It's not just Elohei Chesef. God is not just my confidant. He's also Melech Olam. He's also Elohei Zav. There is an accountability that goes along with Avodas Hashem. This is the essence of every bracha. So now, let's continue on in the piece here from Dr. Tversky. As we shall see, the concept of God as sovereign connotes His omnipotence. Whereas a child has a sense of security in the knowledge that his father loves him and cares for him, this feeling of insecurity is limited if the child does not think that the father has the wisdom to know what his needs are, the capacity to provide for them, and the strength to protect him. We must therefore be aware of God's omniscience and omnipotence as well as His love for us. This is expressed by the third person's statement, King of the universe, who has sanctified us. That's what we mentioned before. This is the Bechina of Malchios, that not just is God omniscient, but he is also omnipotent. An additional explanation of the grammatical shift is that the directness of addressing God in the second person relates to whatever he has revealed of himself to us. Referring to God in the third person indicates that his essence is concealed from us and is unfathomable and unknowable to the human mind. So here too, we come back perhaps to where we started with the Rambam's observation about the Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. The Ata, the revelation, there is an element that on some level we can connect to Hashem. We do talk to him as in second person. He did come down to the mountain of Sinai. But at the same time, we have to recognize that when he came down to Sinai, the Shekhinah never went below Ten Tfachim. It never came down to our corporeal existence. There is something which is mysterious, which is beyond. And that's certainly crucial in the experience of Tefillah, because we can think that the Ribbono Shel Olam is, so to speak, kivyachol, he's on our level. When we daven, he's listening to us. We, quote-unquote, know him to a certain extent. And he gave us insight into these are the important things that we should be davening for when we have bakashos. He's the one who we affirm his existence when we say the Shema. We praise him. So to some extent, we understand our relationship with him. But on the other hand, we have to understand there's that measure of humility that is beyond us, and that we'll never understand. And some suggest that perhaps this is the idea of mitzvosav, beyond what Dr. Tversky points out. Some suggest that, yes, there are aspects of the mitzvos that we think we understand, but we never really understand. Those are chachmas haborei, so they're beyond our comprehension. So when we daven, we need to understand that, yes, there's a part that we can grasp, that we understand to the best of our ability, but then there's the beyond. And by the way, if we didn't have that, how would we really daven? You know, if I could really explain all of God, then I wouldn't want to worship a God that I could figure out, right? I wouldn't believe in the capacity of a God that I could wrap my head around. Part of tefillah is understanding that I can't totally wrap my head around the experience of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He really is beyond our comprehension. So we're constantly oscillating between these two ideas. Rabbi Rosenbaum, when I was sharing with him these ideas in the Kolo, he mentioned to me that Rabbi Arya Kaplan, has in one of his meditations about tefillah that the word gadol, Hakel HaGadol, so he said that Gadol has the connotation of growing beyond and beyond and beyond, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond any universe that we could imagine. He's totally transcendent, he's Gadol, but then just after you think about how beyond HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how transcendent he is, but then you bring it back to, but I'm still talking to you. Baruch Ata. And these are the two poles that we constantly move between, back and forth, between the Ava, the closeness, the imminence in our lives, and also the Yira. And these are both essential. The Ava is necessary for us to be able to connect, to feel that direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we're expressing through Tefillah. And the Yira is necessary for us to realize that, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really can take care of all of our needs. This is an opportunity to grow beyond ourselves. The experience of tefillah is one in which it's not about us and our finite existence. It's about taking a step out of our finite existence into the realm of Elokus, into those 5 minutes or 10 minutes of the Shemona Esrei or the 35 minutes or the hour of davening, where we're beyond the Atah with an I and the here and now, and we're in that realm of transcendence. And so in that respect, not only, yes, it's not just overwhelming to think about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is transcendent, he is the Melech HaOlam, but we realize, wait a second, this conversation enables me to connect to the Melech HaOlam, to be beyond the physical world that I'm living in now. Goes back to the idea from Rav Kook that Neshama Tomid Mispalelis, I'm now in a spiritual world. I'm in the world of Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav, the mitzvos that are clothed in physical actions, but at their soul, at their heart, are in the transcendent world. They are beyond. That's the element of Yira, the element that is so far beyond us, which on the one hand, yes, it's a little bit frightening, but it's also awesome. It's awesome that we have a link to that world, the Yiras Haromimus. That's also a very big part of Tefillah. So Tefillah, as Rabbi Twersky is saying, and the brachos themselves have this specific formula of closeness, but also transcendence. Imminence and direct connection, but also beyond comprehension, beyond our reach. Both of those are essential for davening, and they're also essential for our overall relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And part of the experience of tefillah is cultivating and nurturing both of those, the Ava and the Yira, which we take throughout the rest of our day in these mitzvahs of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. Any questions, comments, or observations from the screen? All right, Yashikoyach, everybody. Next week, Emir